It is amazing what a few hours of sunshine will do to people, huh? Wasn't it a little more joyful? Well, good morning and welcome again to another day of worship here at Zion. And we are continuing our sermon series on healthy lifestyles, trying to start off the new year by being better and healthier Christians. And it's all based on what passage? Colossians 3. See, some of you have been paying attention. Huh? And this week's focus is on this part of the passage, Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. What is the message of Christ? How do you even begin to answer that? What if someone came up to you and say, hey, I know you go to church. What is this stuff all about? What would you tell them? What is the message of Christ? Because Paul is telling us here in this passage that this message should dwell among us richly. That should mean something. Dwell among us richly. This means the message of Christ should be part of our identity. The message of Christ should be part of our core being. And I love how he worded it. It should dwell richly within us. Richly. But what is this message? Paul also tells us to use this message to teach and admonish one another. Or in a nice way, the message of Christ should be used to correct each other. Hey, buddy, you're out of line. We're to keep each other in line with the Word of God. So it should dwell richly in our hearts, and we are to use it to hold each other accountable. But that still doesn't answer the question, what is the message of Christ to you? Is it, well, my parents were Christians, so I guess I'm a Christian. Or is it, well, I was baptized and confirmed and been going to the church my whole life. Or do you just boil it down to being good to all people? Maybe some of you would try to boil it down to a verse like John 3:16. We all know that one, right? For God so loved the world. But do you really know what it means? Do you know the who and the why of Christ's message? And does it dwell richly in your soul? Because it's different to have some kind of knowledge here, and it's different to have some kind of knowledge here. And I don't think anyone really knows it 100%. There are things that are beyond our comprehension. In the academic and theological world, we like to call it the holy mystery card. Sometimes you got to play the mystery card. I just don't know. It's a holy mystery. There are well-degreed and long-time theologians who can't even agree on many parts of it. And if the most learned people don't agree, what can the average person do? Well, let me tell you something. If you know Jesus as your Savior, if you have a devoted prayer life, if you read His Word, you will start to see this message of Christ revealed to you. It's just not something I can teach you. It is something you need to experience. Each of us have this responsibility to know the message of Christ. Knowing the message of Christ is not just for the pastor, not just for a select few, But all people, all Christians, have a responsibility to learn and to know God. To learn and know the Father. To learn and know about His Son. To learn and know about the Holy Spirit. In other words, to know and learn the message of Christ. And you may say, why? Why is this so important? Why do I have to know? Number one, it's because today Christianity has lost its voice. It means nothing to anybody in America that you're a Christian. So what? It used to mean something to somebody to say, I was a Methodist, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a this. It used to mean something to declare your faith and what you believed in faith. But today in America, it's just a generic term. Well, I'm not Muslim, and I'm not really atheist, and not agnostic, not Buddhist, and I'm kind of spiritual, so I guess I'm a Christian, right? It's like a checkbox. It's like all the above. And the other important, why it's important, is because there's a lot of people who have the wrong view of Christ and Christianity. There are so many false teachings today because the average person who claims to be a Christian is far removed from the truth. They don't even know they are following a false Christian religion. And in order for you to be a truly healthy Christian, you have an obligation to know what the message is. So seriously ask yourself, what is the message of Christ? When I was a kid, it was unthinkable to think of somebody who didn't even know what a church was, who didn't know what a sanctuary was, who didn't know what a pastor was. But today, all over, we have people who are so far removed from church, they are unchurched people, they don't know the names of the Bible, they don't know the names of anything. Who remembers growing up that at least everybody went to Vacation Bible School, right? And everybody went to church at least twice a year, right? So if you sat down with someone who had never been to church, where would you start? How would you explain the message of Christ? So as we get started looking at the message of Christ, let's start simple. And one easy place to start with the message of Christ can be found in Matthew 22. In verse 37, Jesus said, when he was asked what the most important things in the Bible were, Jesus, what's the most important thing in the Bible? Now, at this time, there wasn't a New Testament, okay? So everything was what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scripture, okay? And Jesus replied, number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So if you know nothing else about the message of Christ, know that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. And in another passage, he actually adds strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he said the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, some of you got to admit, you love yourself pretty darn good. And you might be the most amazing person to love if you love like you loved yourself. But you see what Jesus says here in verse 40, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. What's he referring to? The law and the prophets is the Hebrew Bible, for us, the Old Testament. In order for us to truly know the message of Christ, we have to know something about the Old and New Testaments. We have to know the whole Bible. Because a lot of us like to live by a couple verses here and a couple verses there because they sound really good and easy to live by. But it's important for us to know and study all of God's Word. And this isn't the first or last reference that Jesus makes about the Holy Scriptures. From the very beginning of his ministry in Luke chapter 4, it says he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." When he said, "This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," he's saying the message of Christ, the message of who he is, begins and ends with Scripture. And this was the same message that he preached after the resurrection. Jump all the way to the end of Luke, to Luke 24. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scripture. He told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Again, he goes back to the Scriptures. "Everything about me that you need to know about me is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Three times we see that Christ goes back to the Scriptures. Do you see how important the Scriptures are to us? The message of Christ is not just about love or doing good to others. The message of Christ starts with the Word of God. It starts in the beginning of creation and continues through today. John begins his gospel this way, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." The message of Christ was with God from the beginning. And then later John tells us for what purpose. Verse 11, he says, "He came to which was his own, but yet his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." And note it says here, "Those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." The message of Christ is about forgiveness and about redemption. The message of Christ is about restoring our relationship with the Father, our Creator. The message of Christ is about salvation, a means to overcome our sin and allow all people the opportunity to become children of God. And this is important for us to know because it begins to separate true gospel and false gospel. That's why I say there are false Christian churches out there, because they do not teach this. And I've said it many times, but I still hear people use this phrase too many times. Aren't we all children of God? No, we are not all children of God. Jesus clearly states here and in other passages that some will reject him, some will believe, but only those who believe in his name he gave the right to become children of God. The message of Christ is to provide a way to be redeemed by the Father. Last year we did a study on the book of Hebrews. It's a New Testament book, and it's a great work of Scripture. It's not exactly an easy read, but it bridges the gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it gives a really great picture of what Christ came to do, a picture of what his message was. From Hebrews 2, it says, "Since children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. Jesus became less than the God, lower than angels, and took on flesh and blood." And why did he do this? "So that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil." Remember, Paul tells us the wages of sin is death. Separation from God is eternal. Unless we have redemption, we have eternal damnation. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, "And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death." In 16 he says, "For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God." And really pay attention here. "That he might make atonement for the sins of the people." See, if you understand the law of Moses, God required a blood sacrifice as an atonement for sin. Sin requires a death penalty. In the Old Testament, they would take animals and substitute them as their atonement, as their sacrifice, as a death penalty. They would sacrifice the blood of an animal for their sin. And Jesus, through his blood, is the new covenant. Jesus came to fulfill God's law, to become the sacrifice for us. Jesus is the one and only way to be redeemed with God, the only way to become his children. And it is only God's children that get to spend eternity with God. And those who reject this message cannot become his children. Those who are not his children get to spend a different kind of eternity. An eternity of torment. An eternity without God. An eternity of hell. And there are many Christians who do not believe in hell. In a previous appointment, we were a small congregation. On a good Sunday, we had 40 people. I had a family of 7 leave because I preached about hell, and he did not believe in hell. There are many Christians who believe a false gospel that all good people go to heaven. Why? Because we try to think and replace what God teaches us. Well, I can't believe a God who loves would do that. Well, then you haven't read Scripture. Because let me ask you this question. If all good people go to heaven, why did Jesus come and die on the cross? Why did we need a Savior if there was nothing to be saved from? Jesus is our Savior, saving us from something. What did he save us from? An eternity in hell. And then Jesus said before he died, "Go out and share this good news with others so that they too may believe." Because if all good people went to heaven, why would we need to go out and preach this message? It just doesn't make sense that you, as a Christian, would believe these false teachings, and that's why it's important for the message of God to dwell richly in your soul so you don't believe this fabricated stuff. Because when you believe the fabricated stuff, then your children, your friends, and other people you know say, Well, if all good people go to heaven, I don't need to go to church. I don't need Jesus. I don't need anything. I'll just be good and God will judge me later. And folks, we just experienced a split from a denomination over true and false teachings. Because people don't want to hang on to the very thing Jesus taught us. Go to the Scriptures. Go to the Scriptures. Go to the Scriptures. We need to get away from false teachings. We cannot fall for a false gospel. We need to know what the message of Christ is. In 3:16, again, Paul said, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish each other with all wisdom. Wisdom, that's a good word, isn't it? Wisdom is different than knowledge, isn't it? Wisdom comes with experience. Through Christ's message, through the Word of God, we are to teach each other. We are to admonish each other. In other words, we're supposed to hold each other accountable to help each of us live up to the message of Christ, to love like God, to live like God, to forgive like God, to be clothed with compassion and gentleness and patience. I know a lot of people say, well, we shouldn't judge other people. And the Scripture does teach this. But as we talked about in Sunday school, there is a difference between judging and correcting. Judging means we feel we have the authority to condemn someone and pronounce judgment on them. You do not have that authority. Only God has that authority to judge someone. That is not your job, to judge someone and pronounce judgment on them. But holding each other accountable is different. Holding each other accountable says, hey, you know what the Scripture says? I know what the Scripture says. Are you walking according to the Scripture? And you do it out of love, because you don't want to see that person stray. Because when a person starts to stray, eventually, at some point, they'll leave their salvation and turn their back on God. That can happen, folks. That is Scripture. And one of the best ways we can love each other is to keep each other on the right path. That's why we gather together. That's why we study God's Word together. That's why we learn together. That's why our denomination tries to set up these things that point us all in a unified direction. And Paul wrote this to Timothy. He said, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Do you see that? He just didn't learn it, but he became convinced. Became a part of who he was. Because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul goes on to say that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Yeah, we're supposed to be righteous people. That's supposed to be our goal, to move towards Christian perfection. And not just for our benefit, but so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you see how it comes together? You need to love God and be equipped to go and love others. If we want to be healthy Christians, it's like a good diet, isn't it? And the best diet you can have as a Christian is a diet of Scripture and prayer and worship. Scripture, prayer, and worship. That is a healthy, balanced diet. We must live in God's Word, God's wisdom, God's love. And we are all in this together, teaching, correcting and hopefully perfecting a healthy lifestyle in Christ. And the message of Christ is all right here. It's right here in the celebration that we call communion. Some call it the Lord's Supper. Other traditions call it the Eucharist. They're all correct terms. The message of Christ isn't just about here. The message of Christ is about experiencing it here. And today, you can experience the message of Christ. Experience the message of Christ right here. Because on the night of that Last Supper, that night when Jesus knew everything was coming to a head, that he was going to be arrested, he was going to be betrayed, he was going to be denied, he was going to be judged and beaten, paraded through town, and be hung as an innocent man between two criminals in a very gruesome and painful death. But he also knew he was doing it for a purpose. He was doing it to become the sacrifice for you. He experienced death so you would not have to experience death. His resurrection was triumph over physical death. His resurrection was proof that our God is the author of life and death, and it is only God who can be the author of our eternal life. But God being a holy and just God, saying, you cannot just sin and get away with it. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be a penalty. You need to be redeemed and perfected. And out of his love, he gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. And on the night that he shared that last meal, he departed from the usual celebration, because that's where they were at. They weren't just having supper. They were sharing Passover. Passover is a story of God's redemptive power by blood. And as Christ taught in the scriptures, he was telling his disciples, I have come to be the fulfillment of that scripture. And he took the loaf, and he gave thanks to God. Because in all circumstances, we should always give thanks to God, because we know he has a holy and perfect will. Even though we don't understand the mystery behind it, or understand all the tragedies of the world, we know we have a God that wants to redeem us. And after giving thanks, he broke the bread. And he gave it to his ignorant and stupid disciples. Because that's what they were at the time. They didn't get it. It wasn't until after the resurrection that their eyes were opened. And Christ wants to open your eyes today. And he's saying, here, today, my body was broken. For you, and for you, and for you, and for you. I don't care if you sit in the front row or the back row, my body was broken for you. Likewise, after dinner, he took the final cup. And again, after giving thanks to God, he said, drink from this, all of you, all of you. It may have just been the 12 disciples in the room. We don't know. The ladies could have been there. Other disciples could have been there. We don't know for sure. But he looked across the room at many imperfect and average people. People who would run away. People who would deny him. People that would make mistakes. He said, drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus, again, wasn't just talking to the people in that room. Through his scriptures, he's still talking to us today. That his message is, my blood is the new covenant that is given for you. Drink from this, all of you, in remembrance of me. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we have gathered here today. Many of us came for various reasons, but at this very moment, we are all in the same place. We are all in the same state, for we all need your mercy. We all need your grace, and we all need your love. Lord, today in true humbleness, we have come to you. And at this moment, we confess our sins to you. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have disobeyed your commands. Forgive us when we had loved ourselves above you, when we have loved ourselves above our neighbors. Forgive us for the times that we have failed to proclaim your message. Forgive us for not reading your word. Forgive us for not praying. Forgive us for not having genuine worship. Lord, not only forgive us for the things that we have done, forgive us for the things we have left undone. Lord, give us the strength to love, to forgive, to be compassionate, full of kindness, full of humility. And Lord, now we take a moment for each of us to have a moment of private confession. May we each confess our sins to God. Lord, you have told us that your word is holy and true, that you are the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. And Lord, your holy word tells us and promises us that all who earnestly seek you, repent of their sins and seek forgiveness, that they will be forgiven. And Lord, therefore, under the authority of your scripture, I proclaim all those who have earnestly sought redemption have been forgiven. Lord, through the power and the mystery of your Holy Spirit, we ask for you to be bounding in your presence in such a way that these elements of the bread and elements of the vine become more to us than simple elements. That by the power of your Holy Spirit, we are transformed into the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood. May we be nourished. May we be renewed. And may you enter in and dwell richly in our hearts, so that as your unified body, we may proclaim the message as you have commanded us to do. This we pray through the name and the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you leave here today, you should be a people of joy. Because you have heard and have received the message of Christ. You are His children. You are redeemed by His blood. And your Savior has gone to heaven to prepare a place for you. And one day He will return. And He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where all of this ugly is going to be gone. No more tears, no more worries, no more tragedies, no more bad news phone calls. God is going to take all of it away. He has a perfect place for us to spend eternity, and His light and His joy. That's wonderful, isn't it? Does this message dwell richly in your soul? And when somebody says to you, what is the message of Christ? You don't have to quote a bunch of scriptures. You don't have to do anything but say, it lives within my heart. Jesus Christ, the crucified, has saved my life, has redeemed me, and has a place for me in heaven. And if you want to know more, at 10:15 Sunday morning, come worship with me. And we'll share the rest of the message with you. Because your message is different than your message is different than your message. We've all been redeemed in different ways. But isn't that the brilliance of God's plan? That all who proclaim His name will be redeemed and called His children. And as Jesus told His disciples, go now into the world and proclaim that good news. Let us go now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.